From the shores of Puget Sound, this is Healthy Homecast. Healthy Homecast is created and operated by HealthyPainting.com. Healthy Homecast is a unique audio source for information, education, consultation, news, events, and fun. Each episode will introduce and connect you with services, products, practices, organizations, and groups that focus on health, happiness, safety, well-being, charity, and community of all. Find us on the web at www.healthyhomecast.com. And now your host, Daryl Whalen.
Hello and welcome to episode 18 of Healthy Homecast. Tony and I are here with Bill Daly of BD Coatings. Before we begin, here are some upcoming events that are happening in and around our area. Take it away, Tony.
It's time to spotlight some healthy, fun, and informative events that are happening throughout the Puget Sound area and beyond.
Alrighty, and welcome to the events. First up is Empowering Business Conference. This is taking place Wednesday, October 12th from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Everett Performing Arts Art Center, located at 2710 Wetmore Avenue in Everett. The Economic Alliance Snohomish County has decided to combine our Empowering Business Conference and Clean Tech Mixer to provide businesses an opportunity to both develop and connect in one place. This event, with its many facets, is an effort to provide businesses in our region an opportunity to hear energy efficiency successes, educate interested businesses with the resources to tackle an efficiency project, and connect with each other in regional clean technology business leaders. For more information, contact Ryan Crowther at 425-248-4221. Next up is Greener Skies for the Aviation Industry. This is taking place October 13th from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. It's going to be located at the Conference Center at the Seattle-Tacoma International Airport, located at 17801 International Boulevard in Seattle. Learn about the award-winning efforts of the Port of Seattle and Alaska Airlines to reduce their environmental footprints and their unique partnerships that contribute to the sustainability of an entire industry. Elizabeth Levitt, Director of Aviation Planning and Environmental for the Port of Seattle, and Jacqueline Drumheller, Manager of the Environmental Affairs for Alaska Airlines, will discuss the many challenges and opportunities in limiting the environmental impact of domestic aviation, from reduction in recycling of food and beverage waste to programs to enhance aircraft fuel efficiency. Cost is $7 before October 1st and $10 onward. And last but not least is Bloom 3, an evening of talks featuring innovations in sustainability. This will be taking place Monday, October 17th from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at Soul Repair, located at 1001 East Pike in Seattle. Bloom is an event focused on innovation and sustainability, environmental, social, and economic sustainability. 8 speakers from Seattle and beyond will share their passion for sustainability, what's new, and what's making an impact. For more information, contact 206-979-7467. Those are the events, and now back to the podcast.
Please feel free to contribute by sending any upcoming events that focus on health, happiness, safety, well-being, charity, and community to info@healthyhomecast.com. And now, back to Healthy Homecast.
Thank you, Tony. You can find those links being posted along with this episode. Last episode, we spoke with Scott Appert and Caroline Bears from BioHealthy Homes. And on our next episode, we're scheduled to speak with Jeff Hogan from Killer Whale Tales. Right now, let's get rolling with this week's guest, Bill Daly. We spoke with Bill on episode 12, and we were unable to touch on all the information we had planned without making it far too long, and therefore decided to take a little break and meet again for more of the conversation on healthy coatings and the such. So welcome back, Bill, and why don't you start by giving us a quick little reminder about yourself, who you are, what are your businesses, and what do they do?
Well, actually, we're more or less involved with one business, and that's Vermont Natural Coatings. And ironically, they're in Vermont, and they, like I used to do, manufacture nothing but waterborne polyurethanes, waterborne stains, and all with the idea of a very safe coating and low VOC and no odor, totally in mind. And we're actually, at this point, getting involved with another company called C2 Paint, which is a paint company that is on the East Coast, West Coast, and in the middle. It's a company that deals only with independent paint stores. And very fine company. The where their paint is made is just ultra clean. And C2 is owned by C2. All the people who, for example, here in Seattle, Daly's is a C2 dealer, and they're also an owner. And that goes true across the United States. Virtually that everybody who is involved with C2 owns a piece of the action. And so I think today we're going to talk a little bit about the coatings and what happens to the coatings and maybe even some of the politics involved in the coatings. What's our agenda today?
We're always up for a little politics. The politics that we talk about before and after the episode is the real interesting stuff. But I wanted to mainly talk about specific products and stuff. I think the last time we talked about a little bit about your history and talked about the evolution of healthy coatings and the history of coatings themselves, of the paints and the stains and the materials that they were made out of and the transition towards the more responsible thing. And we also talked about, we talked about the field of contracting in general. I thought that that we talk about specific products, types of products, how they're used, how they're applied, how they hold up. The one thing that that we see, so a little bit of a refresher. You started doing more of the quote unquote healthier coatings in was that the 80s or the 90s or was that the 70s even?
It was actually the 70s that we started doing it. We did not have very much fanfare. We did not have very much money. We didn't have a very big audience for it. But by God, the technology was actually there. And to give you an example, I'm now dealing quite largely with the floor finishing industry. And the floor finishing industry has been very slow to turn, like many other industries, into water-based. And so when someone asked me this one very, very obvious question that I get asked all the time, well, okay, how long will it last? Now, no one can see the floor that the product's being put on. No one sees your kids or your dogs or where you live or anything else. The can can't see that. So I just tell a little story, and it's about Sven and Ole, and we're going to go back to how about 1940, and Sven and Ole got a nice little floor installing business, and you call up Sven and Ole 1940, and you have him come out and put a new coat of shellac on your floor, and you ask Sven and Ole, okay Sven, how long will this last? That's going to last you 20 years. Now, 10 years later, your floor looks like crap. Your kids were born, you got a couple of dogs, so you call Sven and Ole again. And he comes out and he says, I see you need to refinish your floor. He says, yep, what do you got now? We don't use just that shellac stuff anymore. Now we still use the shellac, but we put varnish over the top. And that varnish is really hard, and it doesn't... It'll last you 20 years, no problem. And so let's do that. So you do it. And then 1960 goes by, comes up. 1950, little episode didn't work too well. And so you call Sven and Ole again, and they come out. And so, okay, guys, what are you going to put on the floor this time? Well, we're not going to use that shellac and varnish crap no more. We got this new stuff called polyurethane. And my God, you can roller skate on this strut. And they said, well, put it on. We'll get this floor sanded down. We'll put on three coats, and you'll never have to see us again. So are you sure it'll last 20 years? Oh, no problem. This polyurethane's wonderful stuff. So 1970 comes by. The polyurethane has yellowed. It's peeled off the floor. It looks like crap. And San and Oli are still in business. And they come by to your house and they say, hey, what do you got now? Oh, we got this new stuff. We don't use that polyurethane no more. We got Swedish finish. And the Swedish finish comes with the vacation because you got to be gone for 7 days after we get through putting it on. And so you're going to take your pussycat and take it to the pussycat place, take your dog and put him in the kennel. And this will last you 20 years. So when people ask me how long the finish is going to last, I just look at them and I say, 20 years. And so there's all kinds of reasons why finishes don't last longer than that. We've had some finishes that have never been refinished. We've had some homes we've gone into that were built in the 30s, and they're still the original finish that was there. And the people just didn't have any reason to wear the floors out. And they were fastidious. They didn't spill things.
And they maintained and cleaned and stuff.
They had somebody who did, came in and did that.
Yeah, or they did it themselves.
Or they did it themselves.
So there's something that Doug had brought up when you were here last time, that when we were taking a break, that he encouraged me to bring up with you again, is that can you share one or more things in particular that influenced you to adopt this greener, healthier move towards products? That something that happened when you were obviously not using that kind of stuff and you were doing it the way you were talking about. You mentioned some of the stuff about some of the big barrels of products and stuff like that.
There were many, many, many stories, and I think I could keep you entertained for approximately the rest of your life if we started in on it. But I will tell you one thing. One of the introductions into the paint industry by myself was my father wanted me to mix up the white lead that he had to make paint, and I did so by putting my hand in the white lead bucket and then massaging it until it became more liquefied.
Oh my goodness.
And that was pretty telling. And we also sold things like paint and varnish remover in our retail store at that time. And the product didn't have a skull and crossbones on it, but yet it contained things that would virtually instantly kill you. And so it wasn't until the late 70s that we had to put the skull and crossbone on the product. And it was pretty telling. But what really woke me up was when we were actually, by contract, we were manufacturing Swedish finish. And we would manufacture every Thursday, and every Friday our guys that did it would be feeling poorly and they want to go home because they were sick, and I get mad at them because they'd get the whiskey flu on Friday rather than on Saturday. And it turned out that the products that we were using were deadly, and we had to get rid of those finally. It was affecting the health of everybody in our organization. And now, oh, by the way, now you go in and you buy a product. Now this big green movement is coming over. It's like a tsunami wave. And it's just like the tsunami wave that hit Japan, it regurgitated some of the stuff that it hit. And that big pile of junk is on its way to the Northwest, floating. And that's kind of what's happening with the green movement. A lot of junk is hitting the marketplace, and it's just going to end up clogging up the business world. There are companies that are truly dedicated to green, and but their message is being weakened by the people who are just relabel. We call it green labeling. So you have to be very careful as to what you buy these days, and actually who you listen to.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for that. Actually, that is pretty much the primary purpose and focus of Healthy Homecast. Of course, on the green movement, but we're broadening our focus a little bit. But we had an episode just recently about greenwashing, and you're talking about from a materials and products perspective, and of course, equally is rampant and heartbreaking is the greenwashing from a contractor standpoint. And I wanted to make sure that I told a story here really quickly that just happened within the last week. We had, because we talked about the RRP ruling and stuff the last time we chatted, and we talked about, the importance of course, we have had Doug Kennedy on here and continually be inspired and from him all the time and the work that he does. I spoke with a gal last week, and she called me up, and she said that she got my number for our painting company, Healthy Painting, from the Lead Council. I guess being certified and, having the proper certification and stuff put me on that list, and she called me, and she had told me that she hired a couple of guys, and they got the pressure washers out there, and they didn't want to do any scraping or anything. They wanted the pressure washer to do all the work, so they got the high pressure one and cranked it up, and they blew all the chips from the house all over this yard and everything. Well, it turns out the woman had flowers and vegetables in the whole yard and little children and everything, and it turns out that there was a pretty sizable amount of lead in all the paint, and so she called us, and we're still, working out and negotiating it, but, I don't know what she's expecting at this point. I don't know what kind of deal she likely got from the last time, but I think it's really, really important. So it's really important, equally on a contractor level, is this from the ingredients level? I know the last time we spoke, you mentioned that most of the products, or if not all of them, have gotten some degree healthier and safer. Is that still true in of the floor coatings?
Sure, it's really true. And that's because the government has mandated that certain solvents not be used. And to give you an example of how industry will not die, the Swedish finish product is not available in any form of gallon in California. You had to buy it by the quart. So the sales of quarts of Swedish finish are way up in California. And if they get it down to pints, they'll just buy it in pints.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And some of the most dangerous places to go is your local art store, because they can the stuff they put into containers are, in some cases, less than an ounce, and there's no requirement for any kind of warning on those containers. And it has to go farther than it is right now. But we're kind of having a very pleasant walk down the aisle right now. And I think if we got into a full gallop, we would be sound like preachers way too much.
Yeah, yeah. That is a funny thing, because you find yourself being in business for as long as I have, and you've been in business for, a bit longer than that, and you've seen and you recognize and how important this thing is. Sometimes it's kind of hard to not be, somebody that really wants to, was it a proselytize?
Yeah, I'll share this with you. I went this weekend and I test drove a car. And by the way, I like very fast cars. I really, really do enjoy them. But I got into a Tesla, and a Tesla is an all-electric car. And that car is so brutally fast and so quiet, you will never see it coming. You'll never hear it go by you. And I was just joking with the salesman. He says, yeah, we've got to develop a way for this to make noise, because that's what people like to hear. They like to hear power.
Mm.
And that car is extremely clean. As far as what it can do, I think its major problem now is leaving rubber on the road.
Mm.
And those are the changes that are coming by. And you don't see Teslas every time you turn around. You don't see totally electric cars. We're still selling the gas monsters out there that we did before.
Are there still a lot of people doing? You mentioned California. Let's talk about about the Puget Sound area a little bit. Is there still a lot of people doing the Swedish? Can you? What is exactly Swedish Finnish, by the way?
Actually, it was a product developed during the Second World War to repair bullet holes in B-17 wings and that type of thing. A product that dried rapidly and they could take off and off they went. And it is what is commonly called in the industry a conversion varnish. It has two parts, a part A and a part B. And part A won't dry unless part B is mixed in with it. And if you don't use it within a certain period of time, then you've got a pretty solid bucket full of stuff. And so in a way, the companies are asking you to do chemistry in the field. And right now, we think that's not a good idea. We think it's a good idea to have the contractor buy a already finished product that he can physically open the container and go to work on. And by the way, we're even improving the tools that are being used to apply it. The paintbrush hasn't changed much from the past 4,000 years. Mm. And just in your industry alone, it was pretty much illegal to paint with an airless gun in the 60s. I mean, the union didn't like that at all. You were too fast. And now if you find a painter without an airless gun, you've found a relic.
Well, then you got me. Mm-hmm. We're the relic company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't use an airless, though. So how many people are still doing stuff like Swedish Finnish, you think?
Well, they're becoming fewer and fewer, but they're still out there. Most of the companies that manufacture it are dabbling also in water-based, but when I say dabbling, I do mean dabbling. That's not their main biscuit. And yes, the Swedish Finnish is extremely legal to sell in Seattle and to apply because it has been classified as an industrial coating. Mm-hmm. You can't go into a retail store and buy it off the shelf, but you can buy it from a distributor who specializes in it.
So is it, it's likely to say that's probably one of the most unhealthy coatings that are used in floor finishing industry?
It's one of them.
One of the most,
yeah. And what's unhealthy about it are the vapors that come off of the product, not the product itself.
Yeah.
Yet the formaldehyde will stick around for, my gosh, a good 7 years.
Yeah.
Off-gassing off that floor at very low levels, but nonetheless off-gassing. Yeah. So we try to keep our product down to the fact that within 24 hours, there is no off-gassing whatsoever, period.
Wow.
It's done. So.
And honestly, how does it compare? Isn't Swedish Finish the best? There's nothing that can come close to it, is what I was told.
We can tell you that.
Yeah.
And I think if we made Swedish Finish, how we would start the conversation off would be, well, we have Swedish Finish, but for those of you who are a little freaky about the odor, we have the water-based product too.
Yeah.
So the water-based product is being left in as a second choice. And right now, many people are using the water-based as a first choice. And a lot of the young floor finishers that are coming up in the trade are wanting not to even get involved with the water, with the solvent-based products. And the water-based products, by the way, if they're applied properly, will last everywhere, every bit as long as the Swedish Finish, with one exception, and that's the fact that they're actually easier to maintain and they're easier to recoat.
Mm.
And you don't have to take that 4-7-day vacation.
And, of course, we know that if you have small children in the house or if you have elderly or if you have people with compromised immune type of things, having those toxic fumes around is just adding fuel to the fire, no pun intended.
Well, yeah, it's a big help if you're trying to collect on an insurance policy, but that's about where it ends.
Bill. So before I get into the products here, I wanted to bring up another thing that I just... I've been a contractor, a painting contractor, and we're in the swing of our exterior painting season right now, and I am negotiating with a gal. I think she's a bit older than myself, and she's like insisted that she use the oil paint on the doors, and she insisted that we use oil primer on the exposed wood. What is your thoughts about that?
We think about that a lot. In fact, we're working with. That's one of the reasons we're working with C2 Company. Andrew Myers, who owns Vermont Natural Coatings, and myself decided that we were going to take our water-based polyurethane and mix it with a very durable latex product that's out there, and we'll make what we call a super paint. We're not really making a super paint. We're making a paint that is equal to what was put on 40 years ago. That's what we're doing. And here's the problem, and I think, Daryl, you can attest to this. You put on a good latex enamel, interior or exterior latex enamel, and after about an hour, it's not really even dry yet, and after 2 hours, you touch it, and it feels a little spongy, and you can't. It produces brush strokes, and you can't get those out, and you can't get an A-class job with the regular latex enamel. You add our Vermont Natural Coatings to the C2 paint, and you brush it on, and it flows like the old oil-based enamel flows.
With the levelers and stuff.
We have. And when you touch it within 2 hours, it feels like you're touching an oil-based enamel. It feels hard. It never feels sticky. And the durability is more than equal to what the old oil base is. But you know what? We have a hard time finding someone who will build those oil-based paints anymore. I bet you we could find some place in the Midwest that is still churning out an oil-based paint, or possibly a sign paint, that type of thing. But we can match it now. We can match the oil base right to the nut.
And what about on a level of health and a health on a range of say 0 to 10 or something, compared to what is the range of healthiness or safety of the product that you're speaking about here compared to the old product from 40 years ago?
Well, we don't have the disposal.
Lead product, that is.
Sure. We don't have the disposal problem that we had with the old lead-based, oil-based paint. We do not have the cleaning problems because we can use tap water. And one of the biggest things that has come up is people say, oh, well, latex paint is safe because you can go right to the sink and wash out your brush.
And put that stuff right into the water system.
You put it right into the water system. And so I think if you were to come out on my boat and I handed you a gallon of my water-based stuff and I was on the other end and I dumped a gallon of spar varnish over the side, right in the middle of Lake Union, which one of us would pollute more? What do you think? You or I?
Well, it seems like it's probably a trick question to me.
Well, it is a trick question. Yeah, I'm trying to trick
you. The latex would probably be worse.
Yeah, it is, because it mixes one per part per million virtually instantly.
Wow.
And within about less than 5 minutes, you will see no trace of the product because it will have already mixed with the water. But yet the spar varnish is sitting right on top.
So that takes a much more longer period for it to dissipate and for it to mix in with the actual.
So we can skim it right off the top, dispose of it properly. And we think that there's a lot of education that needs to be done about how you dispose of your tools and your material that you clean up with after you use latex paint. And, people aren't gonna do it.
Yeah. Well, we are going to, by the way, I would say that it's safe to say that we've been talking about it and we're going to likely have a regular series or a regular segment to the Healthy Homecast podcast, or we may even potentially have a whole separate podcast where we specifically address these types of issues.
Well, yeah, then it is an issue. And so let's get in our... Do you have the Wayback Machine we can get into and go back to 1965?
Yeah, I've got it over here next to my old...
Does it start? Can we... Do you think it'll start?
It's a... Yeah.
Okay.
It's solar-powered.
It's solar-powered. So let's go back. They had sun back there. Let's go back and let's just talk about something really simple, like the garbage trucks coming by on Monday. And you have one garbage can out in front. That garbage can contains grass clippings. It contains eggshells. It contains glass bottles. It contains everything. And that's okay. Then someone says, you need to recycle. Oh, these communists. What the hell are they talking about? And so people are against it. They were against it completely. Now Monday comes, and I've got a yard waste, a recycle, and garbage with instructions on the top of the can.
Yeah.
And it took almost that long for them to get me to change. And that's how it is.
Hmm.
So it's the more information we put out on how to clean and take care of the tools that you have used, the better off we are. In fact, I'm not the applicators that we're now currently producing to put the product on are physically disposable. You keep the handle, you just throw the applicating pad away.
Great. Do you want to take a little bit of a break? And we'll be right back and we'll get right into the products.
You are listening to Healthy Homecast.
Gravity connects me to the earth, which connects me to people who connect me to myself more honestly. And gravity connects me to the crust, which connects to the leaves on the trees that make it possible to breathe. Like a helmet. They would tell us that we don't know how we feel or how to connect with other people on the planet. Oh, if we only knew the power in each blue disillusioned little.
Okay, and we're back here with episode 18 with Bill Daly, and we're talking about, well, we've been kind of talking about the not quite the products, but the changes in the industry and the history of the healthiness and not so healthiness of the type of things that many of us use or have others use in and around our homes. Right now, I'd like to. I know that you say that you're specifically or mostly dealing with floor paints and floor finishes in right now, but I'm gonna start with that. But then I'm gonna get into a list of other products and stuff. So let's start out with floor products. Which floor products do you recommend? Why are they special? Why should people use them?
Well, we can't force anybody to use anything, but we, as a company in whole, try not to make our products so so different in appearance. So when they are applied and when they dry, they look just like the oil-based products that you're used to. And so, albeit the differences are at the manufacture and at the application stage. And I'm going to tell you this. There is a trick to applying everything. As a painter, you know that when you pick up a can of something you haven't used before, you have a tendency to want to read the label. Or do you trust yourself? Do you just open the can and start painting away?
I read the labels. I call the 1-800 numbers and actually talk to the technicians on a regular basis.
Well, you're an odd one, I'll tell you.
That's not the first time I've ever heard that, but continue, please.
So we were going to make a proposal at Vermont Natural Coatings that we were going to have the first talking can on the market.
There you go.
And how are we going to do that? The can can't see you. We can't see the can from where we are, but there's a CD that will be on the lid of the container that you can play, and it will tell you exactly what you can expect to get from this bucket of material you just bought. And it's education, and that's what everything is about, is educating. Educate. And so most people educate through advertising. And I got a big kick. I'm going to mention an actual product name. Windex has now come up with a brand new product. Their chemists have been working overtime to create this. It's a product that Windex can now be used not only on glass, but it can be used on wood surfaces and other things. And I can't believe how much work they had to go into to do that. They had to change the blue color to a slight light brown color. And that's all they had to do. We've always known that Windex worked on all those things. But we have people religiously, they'll stop short using a Windex when they come to anything that's wood. And so advertising is really hard to fight. Right now, whatever America seems to have access only to what Home Depot and Lowe's has to offer. And there's much more out there. That's why the independent paint store is so darn important, where you can actually walk in, talk to a living, breathing person, and get some information. And you know what? when they hand you the can, they've pre-read the label. And so I tell people, in fact, you're going to think I'm crazy, but sometimes on Sundays, I will go to our local Home Depot and just stand in the paint department and listen to the advice that's given out and to what people are attempting to do. And I would say 90% of the projects that go out are going to be a disaster. And we can't do anything to stop it.
Well, in your business, that's a great thing to do. Yeah, it's funny that you say that. I've done that myself where I'll actually go up to somebody that I notice is new in the department or something, and I'll ask them a question that...
Bomb them with a bad one.
Well, I'll just ask them a question just to see what they, like, throw back at me. And it is an interesting thing. So let's start out with, you know, by the way, we're not... particularly endorsing or not endorsing any particular product, and we are, you know, we're featuring you and your companies and stuff right now. But we're just trying to give people an idea about some of the things that are out there. So let's start out with what product do you recommend for interior floor finishes?
Well, again, one of the things that's really popular right now, and I do mean popular, are the what we call hard oil waxes that are coming over and from Europe. And they're touted as being extremely safe, extremely durable. I've seen some very durable ones. They, in the most cases, almost all of them are difficult to apply. And they show a smiling Swedish gal in a beautiful blue summer dress putting it on, but she doesn't live here. And we don't know where she's from, really. And so there's a knack to putting any finish on. And if I were a homeowner, I would get as much education as I possibly could before I ever opened a container. And that's why we have websites. That's why we have information. And we just need to have that information available. And we're working to that end right now. And we find that the water-based floor coatings that are put on... are really simple to put on. They're hard to make a mistake with. So that's some of the stuff that's out there.
So is there a particular interior floor finish that you care to recommend?
Well, of course, we'd recommend the one we manufacture. Okay. Which is a,
you want to just name it and we don't have to get too deeply into it?
Well, it's a product called Polyway, made by Vermont Natural Coatings. And It has a separate category from water base altogether because of the fact of how it's made. And I kind of want you to go on the website and watch. There's a video that you can actually see the product being made. It is made from cheese and milk whey byproducts. So it's really a different cat than this out there.
What about exterior floor finishes?
You would be talking about a deck.
That would be one of the things I'd be talking about, yeah.
Or you're talking about a house that the roof just blew off.
There you go. How about a deck?
Okay, let's talk about decks. And you don't know, I don't know what, basically myself, I don't know what part of the world you're from.
I'm from Ohio.
Okay. But you're anonymous when you call on the phone. Hey, I want a really good deck coating. And by the way, we hear that all the time.
And you don't know if they're from Bellingham or they're from St. Petersburg, Florida.
We have no clue.
Yeah.
So we make an array of products that will work quite well on a deck. And they, by the way, are all water-based. And they have a tendency to... it's the real trick to a exterior coating for a floor or a deck is the pigment that is used to tint the material. One of the frequently asked questions is, what about ultraviolet exposure? Mm-hmm. How can we keep that from us? Well, you can get a pretty good idea how much damage the sunlight can do on bare wood. It will actually destroy it.
Yeah.
And it'll turn
quickly.
Turn it gray. And so what we do is we try to turn those sun rays around by having what we call a transparent oxide. That's a pigment that's already oxidized. It's pre-oxidized. So we have red iron oxide, yellow iron oxide, and raw umber. Those are the three colors that we would normally be involved with. And in some cases, black. But they're called transparent yellow oxide, transparent red oxide. And so you can still see all of the grain features right through the pigment. But the pigment is still doing its job and reversing the sun rays back to a much less harmful level.
So what about like porch floors and basement floors and decks that have already been painted? So we're not talking about the necessarily the finishes, or well, we're talking about a finish. We know that a paint is the same thing. But is there a porch paint or a floor paint that you recommend?
Well, you know, the big thing is the wood decks that are out there that are plywood. And that are, or they're solid wood boards that have been painted. And we have found that getting a harder finish on there is not necessarily the way to go. But get one that actually expands, is able to expand and contract right along with the wood. And if we can do that, we have, and you'll see this, you'll have some poor guy go out. My ex-father-in-law used to, he had a cabin, and he every year he'd paint that that deck, every year, and it would be good through the summer. We'd be all up there, and by gosh, he'd go to open up that cabin in April, and the paint would be all peeled off and just gone. And so finally, when I married his daughter, he said, "Well, thank God I've got a paint person in the family. How do I get this paint to last more than a year?" And I said, "Well, you're not going to." I said, "Because of the type of wood that you're painting over right now." I said, "You're going to have to change the method of wood. You're going to have to get some air breathing underneath that. You're going to need, it's not just the paint, it's also the structure."
Yeah. And that's a big thing that we talked about with the actual paint itself on the house paint, on the actual walls.
Yeah, there's a company out here that is offering a 50-year guarantee on their deck paint, which is in reality a elastomeric coating. That means it's a coating that you can actually pour into a container, let it dry, and you can make a rubber ball out of it.
But that's also, that even at that, that's still barring any like adversity or adverse conditions, because there's actually a house painting company that guarantees a lifetime paint job, that it certainly would last a lifetime, but it's completely no adverse conditions whatsoever. It's not possible.
It is. Yeah, you need to read the warranty. And I happened to go into one of the lumber companies that was selling it, and I read the warranty. And when I asked the clerk about the 50-year guarantee, something went wrong with his eyes. They were looking up, and they were looking to the right and looking to the left all of a sudden. So he had evidently an eye spasm. But it turns out that the warranty was extremely limited to what it would what they would cover.
So what about actual paint, exterior paint? Is there an exterior paint that you recommend?
Oh, there's many. There are many exterior paints. But one of the biggest problems that people have with exterior paints, again, is the fact that they end up with the paint peeling off. And you'll go to the store and say, "Oh, well, you put latex over an oil-based paint."
Yeah, I did.
No, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to rough it up and reprime it and then stick with oil base and yada, yada, yada. Well, the truth of the fact is when those coatings are dry, they are all pretty much the same. And so an oil-based paint doesn't give you any more resistance to adhesion than the latex-based paints do. And the biggest problem is cleaning. So, what do you clean a exterior wall with? You're going to paint.
Well, we talked about this on the last episode. That's the all the sodium in the TSP that people aren't properly
rinsing,
because it's almost impossible, because they have to drain the Puget Sound in order to get enough water to properly like rinse some of the TSP.
Well, I think if you drug your house behind a boat in the Straits of Juan de Fuca, you'd pretty much have you'd be clean of any of the solutions. Oh, wait, that's salt water.
So aside from the solid issues, then there's also the stuff that we were saying about the breathing and stuff.
There's a breathing, and there's also what we call the existing chalk. And you'll find that most of the exterior paints are much softer than the interior paints because of the fact that they need to technically wear out. It's a planned disappearing act for exterior coatings. And so if you take your hand, you go outside, and your house has been painted for 3 years, run your hand across the side of the siding, and then look at your hand, and you'll see powder.
Yeah.
And that's the paint slowly dying on the surface.
What do you do about that?
That's when we get into the cleaning aspect.
Yeah.
So we happen to manufacture it. Isn't that funny? We manufacture a cleaner that will actually work.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it is not a phosphate cleaner. It's biodegradable. There is no odor to it, and it will clean that house absolutely perfectly ready to paint. And so that's my suggestion, to get that thing clean.
What about interior paint? What do you recommend for interior paint?
Well, of course, the interior paints, they are all over the board with what they're, you'll find now that just one company is advertising, well, we put the primer right in the paint. We saved you an extra step. Well, if you read the instructions, they're asking you to put on two coats. And in reality, the interior latex, it makes a fine primer. It works just fine. It's just more expensive than the PVA or the other material that you're using. But it will still work as a primer.
What do you recommend for caulking?
Interior or exterior?
Let's talk about both. Let's talk about exterior first since it's summertime.
Well, there's all kinds of caulking available. I used to work with a company called DAP, D-A-P.
Sure, they're one of the biggest caulking manufacturers around.
That's right. And they were the first ones out with the latex caulk. And they had an arch enemy that produced a silicone caulking material. And silicone actually was much better as far as life expectancy and cracking than the latex caulk, but it was much more difficult to put on, much more difficult to handle. And currently they're putting out a kind of a combination of the two that is really civil and easy to apply and pretty much omnibus. In other words, it'll work under a myriad of things. And when I was selling DAP, my God, I had a choice of about 25 different caulks that I could sell you. And you really, at this point, only need three.
Yeah. What about for interior?
Same difference.
Same difference. What do you recommend for spackling?
Well, that little industry took a hell of a change. They decided to take the mercury out of things. And one of the big culprits was spackle. And so everybody in the industry had to, they were running around trying to create a new spackle that didn't have mercury in it and asbestos and all those little wonderful things that we're trying to outlaw. And somebody came up with a really kind of a neat product, which was a very light version of the spackle. It's they're made from micropowders, and they work pretty good. And they're not like the old spackle, but even when you sand them, the dust is not prevalently bad.
Oh, is that the light stuff? That's yep. Like kind of like whipped cream almost.
It looks like you could have a party and put that right out there in the countertop.
Yeah. That's like cake frosting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So we talked about, let's see. Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you. What is the difference between semi-transparent and transparent? Well, why is one semi and one, what's the difference?
Semi-transparent, that's an interesting question because people who have sold those products have been struggling with that answer. People who have purchased them have been struggling with that question, and the results have, in many cases, not been pretty. When we say transparent, that means transparent. You can see directly through it. So let's take a glass of water, and let's go over to, what paint store is right by here?
There's Miller Paint.
Okay, let's go to Miller Paint, and let's walk in. We've got a glass of clear water, okay? And we'll say, we want to make this transparent. And he'll say, well, I don't really have
it's
any.
It's already transparent.
Right. See my finger right through it. And he'll tell you, I don't really have any transparent colorants here. You'll have to go someplace else to get those, like at a art store where you can get some inks and dyes. And what those are extremely finely ground particles of pigment, extremely finely ground. He said, what I've got will give you a semi-transparent. That's the colorant that comes out of the machine.
Okay.
So unless...
So the deck stains, well, they do actually have that, but they're already come manufactured and they're like more like an oil. They don't really have much, they probably don't have that color in there, do they?
No, they don't. And so let's look at it this way. Let's look at a sheet of white paper, and I'm going to put a pinhead over here and a quarter over here. You can see the difference in size. Well, that pinhead gives you the transparent. That quarter gives you the semi-transparent, more closely related to paint.
Okay.
And if we put on three coats of semi-transparent, we would really have total coverage.
Okay. So would some... Okay. So basically, the difference between semi-transparent and solid is basically just paint. It's not really...
Oh, absolutely. Isn't that a kind of a funny joke? I don't want a paint. I want a solid stain. Oh, no problem. It's paint.
It's okay. So why does any of this matter? Is it really important?
It's a bunch of talking heads trying to sell you a product. You know, what you need to do is like anybody else. If you go to a doctor and you walk in, you sit down, and you don't say anything, the doctor comes up and says, well, how you been feeling? Oh, fine. Have you got any aches and pains? Yeah, my left arm keeps falling off.
Falling off?
So the doctor has to drag this information out of you. Well, let's just consider the fact that you're going to go to a pain store. And you're going to ask their advice and their guidance as to what product is really going to be best for you in a certain situation. And they'll tell you. That's what the independent paint store can really give you is that particular perfect knowledge.
So can we really make a difference or change things by doing things differently or using different things to do them?
Very slowly. Very slowly. The change... Believe me, we'll be having the same discussion 25 years from now. There are changes that are coming that we don't even see. And so most of the things are going to be mandated to us by the government. And by the way, they better get their act together because it looks like we're not going to have much of a government after a while here.
Yeah. So what's the best means for the public to contact you?
Well, I guess you could stick your head out the window and yell, "Hey, Bill," or we do actually have a...
happen to be driving by, then you'll... Mm-hmm.
We have an 800 number, by the way, which anybody can call, which is toll-free throughout the United States.
Do you want to give that out?
Do I need to? I suppose I do, because we're talking about...
Well, you don't need to do anything, but by the way, we will be posting it on the site, so...
Okay, so let's do the 888 number.
888.
Yep.
So we got 888.
We do. We have 888
639 9439. Okay, perfect. So this doesn't necessarily have to, or it doesn't necessarily not have to, I don't know if that, I just said the same thing twice, apply to this whole conversation, but what helpful hints or wise advice do you have to share that has significant meaning to you?
Oh, there's really too many to mention. I think we really picked up on it when I basically became quite acutely aware of the toxic killer products we were actually using in the product we manufactured. And what really made me come to life was the fact that I was out of my store for virtually a 6-month period of time, did not set foot in it. And when I walked in that door, I almost got knocked over by the odor that came up. And I had been used to it before. And now I can't do that anymore.
So are there any particular groups or organizations that you support or you're affiliated with?
I try not to affiliate with virtually any group.
Okay, so
fair enough. I feel like a little bit of a chameleon because I have found out that most of the groups out there have an agenda that they don't really tell you about up front. And that's, I think we should start a group, is what I really think.
Okay, well, what would the purpose or what would this group be or what would the name of this group be?
Well, you were talking about it, Ask Bill,
Ask Bill.
And that's
the Ask Bill group.
The Ask Bill group. It's education. It's actually filling people in with what really goes on, not something that is magically advertised.
And that's exactly what we're doing here on Healthy Homecast, and we are.
We're committed to
continually do that. So thank you for that part. And I know, by the way, the next question we always ask people about books and stuff, and we know that your favorite book is it The Life and Times of Michelangelo?
Yeah, he used to have a Studebaker, you know.
Did he? No, I think it was a little bit before his time.
You're right.
Or a little bit after his time, I mean.
Well, you never know because Studebaker made the covered wagon, you know.
I don't even know if that's true right now.
It is. It's called the Saratoga.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
Well, listen, so that's it for this episode, and we want to thank you once again for coming down and chatting with us, and it's safe to say that we're in the process of continuing this conversation in one manner or another. This has been episode 18 of Healthy Homecast. And the last question, any last words? Anything you feel is left out?
Well, I think that, I think we've covered quite a bit here tonight. There's still more to uncover, so to speak. I think we can talk a little bit more about probably how this blends into the building industry. I think that's an important factor. So since we're building a healthy home, people can feel pretty safe. They can walk in there and not be bombarded by very strange chemicals they know nothing about. And I'll give you a good example. When I replaced the material in my house to insulate it, the guy came out and he says, "Oh my God, you got blown insulation." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Let's get that out of here. That stuff is horrible to breathe." And that was normal, commonplace, 1973 to do that.
Yeah.
And now they can't wait to get it out.
Well, we'll find out what it is that they'd use to replace that with the road.
We need to get the guys from Green Home Solutions to come on and talk about that.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's right. We've been working on it, haven't we, Bill?
Well, yeah, they're two young guys that have a store that covers this, and they get bombarded with questions about it, and they've done some research, and I think that they'd be pretty good.
Yeah, they're great. Group. They're great guys and a great company, and we highly encourage people to consider checking them out.
True.
So that's it on behalf of Tony Freiss and myself, Daryl Whalen. We've been here with Bill Daly. This has been episode 18 of Healthy Homecast, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Healthy Homecast, brought to you by HealthyPainting.com. Your feedback is important. Please feel free to contact us with any comments, questions, or suggestions you may have, including info pertaining to podcast guests or to upcoming related events. You can call us at 206-650-4587 or send a direct email to info@healthyhomecast.com. Be sure to check back often. New episodes coming soon. Thank you for listening to Healthy Homecast, brought to you by HealthyPainting.com. Please feel free to contact us with any comments, questions, or suggestions for upcoming show topics or guests. Call us at 206-650-4587 or send a direct email to info@healthyhomecast.com. Be sure to check back. New episodes coming soon.
Desert low, smells like rain.